Well, you made it to the weekend. Friday afternoon, Raj Taylor in, and boy, do we have a packed afternoon. Linda Teeter is up first, right after we listen to Kate Smith, and she's the executive director of Michigan Citizen Action and a well-known person here in the Kalamazoo area, and we're going to talk about the huge cuts to feeding poor people that the Republicans in the House of Representatives decided was necessary last night. Next half hour, we'll talk to CBS political analyst Dottie Lynch. Dottie is going to help make sense out of the continuing budget resolution and the debt ceiling and how we may end up derailing the country's economy and destroying the creditworthiness of the United States. And we'll find out what would motivate Congress people to want to do that. In the 4 o'clock hour, Sandra Minuti joins us. Sandra is from Charity Navigator, and sadly, whenever there is a natural disaster anywhere in the country, there are immediately scams that pop up to take the money from people who would like to be helping and divert that money into doing other things. Well, guess what? That's happening in Colorado. And so we'll get some advice from Sandra Minuti at Charity Navigator on how to avoid those scams. And then last up on the docket for the day is Paul Clements will join us. Paul is the one of the, if not the candidate right now from the Democratic Party for the Michigan 6th District congressional seat. And we'll take his temperature on what's going on in Washington these days and how it could be different if he were, say, elected. But before we go any further, here's what we've been waiting for, the first of the Friday music. Seventy-two degrees on the outside, and joining us now is Linda Teeter. And Linda, how are you today?
Well, I'm good, Roger, and I want to tell you that I'm calling in from a phone at Polly's Country Market in Chelsea because my cell phone froze up. So how fitting to be at a grocery store when we're talking about SNAP.
Yes, or the lack of SNAP, as the case may be. It is interesting to me that even though the deficit itself is dropping like a rock, the deficit was certainly aggravated by the Great Recession. But even though the deficit is declining very rapidly, conservatives, Republicans in the House, think there are too many people collecting food stamps. What are your thoughts?
Well, that's true. And last night, the U.S. House of Representatives did vote out the bill 217 to 210 to cut $40 billion over the next 10 years from the SNAP or the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program.
Okay, and what at face value, it says that we want to take able-bodied people off the program. And when you look at that statement, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's when you look at the data and you see that for every person out there looking for a job, there's only one-third of a job available. And so with unemployment as high as it is this the time to start thinking about throwing able-bodied people off the food stamp program?
Well, you know, you're right. The unemployment numbers for Michigan came out yesterday. We're at 9%, so we're up a bit in unemployment.
In 3 months in a row, I might add, that we haven't seen any improvement at all. And the last month, actually, an increase in unemployment.
Well, this program is interesting in that the history, Roger, for your listeners to know, is that this is always been a bipartisan effort. We are in a country with an abundance of food. I mean, I'm standing here looking at the shelves and aisles of food in Polly's, and we have always been one that said, you know, people, children, seniors need to have food so that they can function. There was an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times, it was Monday, written by Tom Daschle and Bob Dole, and they spoke about how food is so important to people's daily lives, and especially children and seniors, and that this has always been a commitment by the United States to make sure that people who need food have food.
Do you know how many of the people on food stamps are actually children?
You know, there was just interesting. I can't tell you that number, but I can tell you that the kids count data came out the other day, and one in five children in Michigan suffer from food insecurity.
20% of our children.
One in five children.
Yeah.
Meaning that they don't know where their next meal is going to be, and if there will be a meal.
Where will these people continue to find food as the program is cut back?
Well, you know, first off, we hope politically in the Senate that they're not going to support what the House has sent over. That's sort of one piece of it, and that you know, that it will probably go to a conference committee and then, you know, figure out what that's going to be. We would support no cuts to it. Roger, it is a program that, of all of them, that is so efficient and so little bit of fraud, as there was discussion as I was listening to the meetings the day before and yesterday and the discussion on the House floor. The other issue is, where do people get food? Well, if I may take a minute and share with you, about a week or so ago, I was in Richland. I had dropped off a computer at a small business there from our office, and as I was pulling out, a young man pulled up, probably was 12, on his bike, and he came right up to the car, and he said, ma'am, can I have some money? And I, immediately was like, it's not a good idea to try to scare someone in that way. And he backed away and he said, ma'am, my mother had an incredibly good job and lost it and hasn't been able to find a job. And I don't know what I'm going to eat tonight. And I think that speaks for it, that, families are going to share with each other. Children are going to maybe depend on Friday packs to go home. And, it's going to put even more burden on food banks and food pantries, and there will be foodless dinners in households.
We're talking with Linda Teeter, and Linda, do the food banks have the resources to step up then and to pick up some of the slack that Congress is going to create with this cut if it goes through the Senate? Do the local food banks have the resources to fill this gap?
Well, let me just talk about numbers in the Congressional District 6, Congressman Upton. There's 48,500 people who currently have benefits on this program. So again, it's just about true for the one out of five. And I did not call Ann Limpsey to talk to her directly, but if you sure that you have had people on your program, and I have had discussions over time, that those food banks and food pantries have had to pick up so much more. So I don't have a direct answer for that, Roger.
Okay. But in your mind, it's questionable if they have the resources to fill the gap that's going to be created. It's not a for certain, oh, yeah, they can take care of it.
Well, as we have seen over time, that the responsibility to for those of us who have food to share with others, but the economy has been such that people who are in the middle class may be just trying to feed themselves.
Right.
And so, that one of the answers is that in this bill that was originally in the farm bill that Senator Stabenow was working on, then was pulled out, that there not be cuts. And we also look at where's the new revenue, Roger? We have such large corporate tax loopholes that the offshoring of jobs, deducting that, not paying when you bring money back, that we need to all pay our fair share.
Right.
And not necessarily the people who are either underemployed or unemployed at this point, that they would have no food.
Do you know how Representative Upton voted on this last night?
I do. He voted for it.
Okay, for the cuts.
Yes.
Can you give me, since the deficit is declining, what's the motivating factor here to want to stop offering food security to Americans? Why is this coming up at this point in time?
Sure. Well, I did listen over the last couple of days to the discussion in the Rules Committee, and then the speeches on the floor, and over again, there were a couple of things that there's such fraud and abuse in this program, and that people should be able to secure food on their own, and that this was in their minds not meant to be a long program for people.
Okay.
Again, all of the Congressional Budget Office reports on this program is that it's one of the most efficient, effective program. And there already are limits in the program to mm-hmm. how long people, those went in I think when President Clinton signed the welfare reform bill back in 1996.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate your taking the time on the way back from Detroit to talk to us from a grocery store. The location couldn't be more appropriate as we talk about cutbacks to food stamps.
Roger, how your listeners can make a difference now is to call Senator Stabenow. And she chairs the Senate Ag Committee. And I know this is extremely important to her and that she would welcome having people call her and give their feelings about cutting this $40 billion out of the SNAP program.
Well, you just offered that suggestion to them.
I did.
Thanks for joining us, Linda.
Thank you, Roger.
You bet. Linda Teeter, Executive Director of Michigan Citizen Action, and sharing some obvious concerns over the vote last night to substantially cut food stamps in the United States, and for informing us that Representative Upton voted for the cuts. Raj Taylor driving you home on a Friday afternoon, 72 degrees out there. Some showers in the area, but so far most of the rain that was predicted has missed us. Rather cloudy and humid with showers and thunderstorms into this evening. Some will produce torrential downpours and maybe some damaging winds. Expect a high in the mid-70s, right where we are. Partly cloudy, cooler later tonight, a low of 55. And cooler, less humid tomorrow, times of clouds and sun. Maybe a shower in some places in the afternoon and a high of 65. Sunday, sun and clouds, 64. Again, 72 in Kalamazoo. Raj Taylor on a Friday afternoon. You made it to the weekend, and 72 degrees on the outside. We'll soon be chatting with Barb Larson, and we'll find out if the weather for the weekend will continue cloudy and humid and rainy, or if it'll be more fall-like. That coming right up. Following that, we're going to talk to Dottie Lynch and have her try to make some sense out of all that Congress is doing these days. When I say Congress, really referring to the House of Representatives, we'll find out from Dottie what's the deal with the continuing resolution to keep the government going. Will the Senate kill Obamacare just to get along with the House of Representatives? Dottie Lynch, CBS News political consultant, will help us understand all that stuff. Taking a quick look at gas prices, $3.64 in Hastings, $3.63 in Plainwell, $3.65 in Pawpaw, $3.64 down Three Rivers Way. Sturgis, the exception. Their prices didn't go up. $3.42 there. $3.58 in Battle Creek. $3.61 in Kalamazoo, but you got to get your gas along Gull Road or Portage Road to get those prices. Well, as promised, Bob Larson, enters the studio. Bob, how are you?
Hey, Roger. How are you on this Friday?
I'm just fine. So far, not much rain. Are we going to miss most of the
showers? Yes, we are. There's not going to be much rain at this point. Showers are mostly east of the area right now and moving to the east. So aside from a stray shower, we're pretty much going to miss out here.
Okay. These things happen. The cold front that's coming through should have been enough to trigger some rain out of all this juicy air, shouldn't it have?
Yeah, well, the front came through too early. The front is pretty much through right now or on top of us, and everything's ahead of the front. So there are showers and storms east of Jackson and on toward Lansing and Detroit. That's where the action is, but not here.
And
the front came through here with showers pre-dawn.
Okay.
I don't know if you had any rain your way, but a quarter inch of rain at the airport, including a downpour about 4 or 5 a.m.
We didn't get any downpours where I live, but the pavement was wet this morning when I got up.
Okay.
But it didn't look like a lot of rain.
I see. And that was from the front coming through.
Sure. How about the weekend?
The weekend is, well, that leads to the word.
Well, and the word is?
The word is improvement.
Oh.
Because we're pretty much done with the threat of rain, but it's still cloudy. And then we clear it out overnight tonight and tomorrow. The sun will be back out. And by Sunday, it's bright and sunny and very nice. So tomorrow's more or less a transition day. Could even be a few sprinkles by way of kind of lake effect, cool air coming in off Lake Michigan. Maybe a few sprinkles, stray shower. But all in all, a partly sunny Saturday. That'll be followed by a mostly sunny, very nice Sunday.
All right.
Which is the first day of autumn.
And will it feel autumnal?
It will, especially tomorrow morning, because tomorrow night is going to be chilly. We drop into the lower 40s tomorrow night. Some outlying areas might even flirt with the upper 30s, much the way we saw it about a week ago.
Uh-huh.
And Sunday, despite that chilly, crisp start, mid-60s by afternoon, and in the absence of wind and with bright sun, it should feel very, very nice.
All right.
Back into the 40s again Sunday night. And it looks like dry, tranquil weather through at least the first half of next week with a slow trend to warming. I don't see it going back to 80 the way it did here 2 days ago, but we will be back into the 70s.
Well, it is Friday, so let's take a look at the year to date.
All right, for the year today, as we compare temperatures and rainfall from last year to this year, and it's a continued theme, last year at this point of the year, average temperature was 56.4, about 56.5. That's about 4.5 warmer than average. This year's temp, 51.8 for the average. It's about a half degree cooler than average. So we've gone from 4.5 above to 1.5 below. The biggest difference is in rainfall. Last year at this point, 19 2/3 inches of rain. This year, 32 2/3 inches of rain. Last year's total was about 6.5 degrees drier than average. This year, about 6.5 inches wetter than average, so I think it's a degree. 6.5 inches below average last year, 6.5 inches above average this year. Quite a swing.
You betcha.
Now for the month, it's a little more evenly distributed. It's closer to what we had seen last September. At this point in September last year, we were at 66.7. That's 2 degrees above average. This year, 66 on the button, 1.3 above average. Rainfall pretty even. Last year, 1.57. This year, 1.42, though that does not count the quarter inch or so of rain that fell this morning. But either way, we're about an inch or so below average for the month.
Okay. That's the update. And so people heading out for football tonight can plan on not taking...
I don't think you need to take rain gear. I can't rule out a few sprinkles, but I think it's basically just mostly cloudy, a little breezy. Kickoff temperatures look to be in the upper 60s and a very slow drop into the lower 60s by game's end. We're calling for an overnight low of 55, but of course that will occur by daybreak.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Bob. You have yourself a good weekend.
Hey, Roger, thank you, too.
We'll talk to you Monday afternoon.
Sounds good.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bob Larson, AccuWeather meteorologist extraordinaire. And now, from one extraordinary person to another, Dottie Lynch, CBS News political analyst, joins us. Dottie, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Been
we're
a
having
while.
Some beautiful weather here in Washington. So,
well, good. And it sounds like we're going to be sending you some more.
Well, that's good. We actually could use a little bit of rain, but man, have we had a beautiful few weeks.
Well, good. Well, Congress has been, or at least the House of Representatives, has been busy, and it seems they've got quite the agenda they're working on. Can you make this make sense for people who don't get what they're doing?
Well, let me just try to see it from their side, or from at least John Boehner's side. In the last 2 days, they have both made huge cuts to food stamps program, and then today voted out a continuing resolution to fund the government that includes defunding the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
What this has been driven by the Tea Party and about 40 House Republicans, but in order to get this out of the House of Representatives, Speaker Boehner said he'd go along with them with this vote and get it over to the Senate and then let the Senate deal with it. The assumption is that the Senate will not pass anything that includes defunding Obamacare, and they'll pass something that's a continuing resolution, which will then have to go into conference committee. However, the problem is, if you care about the government being funded, October 1st is the deadline, and to do all of this and potentially get some kind of a deal that could pass both houses of conference is not likely to be able to happen before October 1st.
So you're saying there will be a shutdown?
Well, right now, that's the path they're headed on. In order to do this, they'd have to move more quickly than they usually do. And now in the Senate, even though the votes probably are there to pass something that includes Obamacare funding or doesn't exclude it, let's put it that way, now Ted Cruz, the Tea Party senator from Texas, and Mike Lee from Utah are now threatening a filibuster. So that would delay it even longer. So if all of those things happen, the chances of getting any kind of a deal by October 1st are looking slim. Now, this obviously could change, but right now it seems to be on a path of shutting down government, which a lot of Republicans as well as Democrats don't think is a good idea, and Republicans know they're going to get the blame.
Is that the case? Do you think is this going to be a repeat of the government shutdown that Newt Gingrich masterminded back in the 90s?
Well, it seems like that's where they're headed, and a lot of Republicans feel, they've looked at the current polls, they know what happened to them last time, that this is a big political mistake as well as governmental, to cause people a lot of problem from not being able to, little things like not being able to get passports in international parks, to potentially things like Social Security and other essential measures. So there is a lot of feeling inside the Republican Party. Senator McCain is one of those that says this is going to be a disaster and they're going to really pay the price for it. But a number of those conservative Republicans say, you know, this is the only way to cut government spending.
Yeah, I hear them saying that. What will the are they looking at potentially losing the House next year? Could the consequences of a government shutdown be that significant?
Well, here's the issue, and that's why they're not particularly worried about that. A lot of the Republicans run in very safe districts. They've been redistricted into districts that are very conservative, and they can probably win re-election, even if on a broader basis people don't like what they've done. So this is not a national election. It's 435 different elections for House and 33 for Senate in the state. But in those House districts, a lot of the Republicans are running in very safe areas.
There's been some criticism that I've heard today coming from Republicans targeted at Senator Cruz saying he's putting his personal political ambitions ahead of not only the country, but more importantly, in Republicans' minds, ahead of the business of the Republican Party. Does that ring true with you? Is this all about positioning himself to run for president?
I think there's a lot of that. You even have somebody like Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican minority leader, who has a Tea Party conservative as an opponent in the primary, and he's not making any deals anytime soon because of the leverage of the Tea Party. So, you know, a lot of these Tea Party people firmly, passionately believe in limiting government and cutting back spending and cutting back the size of government. And Ted Cruz, I think, is looking to be a big leader on that part of the party, but he is doing it in a way that he's making himself a lot of enemies by the more, I wouldn't even say moderate, just sort of more sort of serious Republicans mm-hmm. who are used to compromising some of those principles in order to get things done.
Then let's look at raising the deficit ceiling. How does that impact all the other stuff going on there?
Well, they're also threatening that as well, and to not raise the deficit ceiling either, which we know went through in the summer of 2011. That's been put off. The can has been kicked down the road, but it's going to come up again, and the same kind of tactics are likely to be used there.
Interesting. Do you have a feel for how this is going to work out? Do you have a crystal ball, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, one of the interesting things is this split inside the Republican Party. And there's probably a way to pass the continuing resolution with Democrats and enough Republicans in the House to get a majority. Now, typically, neither Pelosi nor Boehner has been happy with that solution. But if the Republican fight continues at this level, that could be a solution to it. But right now, we're looking at a very short timetable, and whether they're going to avoid at least a few days of a shutdown is totally unclear.
Before I let you go, does Boehner survive this?
You know, we thought before that he wasn't going to, and he always manages to do it. A lot of people are saying, even if he could get the votes, why would he want to?
Yeah.
But this is really becoming not a very fun job. But he's managed in the past to be able to pull it together after his leadership was in question. So I think we'll have to look at both what he wants and what the how the caucus feels after they get over this one.
We're going to have to perhaps get him a whip and a chair to do his job with.
And a bottle of bourbon.
There you go. There you go. Thanks, Dottie. Have yourself a good weekend.
You too.
Dottie Lynch, CBS News political analyst, and always on top of what's going on in Washington, even if it's not a pretty picture. -73 degrees, cooler, less humid tomorrow.
The trifecta continues after CBS News and Kalamazoo's news from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.